Blog Talk Radio.
Dog with the cool click, I got it going on. A brother that's living in the city of the criminal zone. One time can't keep the law and order, cause everybody's going crazy for a quarter. You tuned in to the number one crew in the area. The way I'm talking to you, I'm scaring you, I'm daring you to raise hell and bell and brag and sag. I'll beat down for your flag. Cause if you is or you ain't a gang banger, keep one in the chamber. Cause you'll get them things put on your son. High priest got the 411. All the old school house fellas are crooks, so I get jealous looks. They keep thinking did my hair grow. Will the boys in the hood have to beat down Beat Dog? Hell no. I'm static on your see, it's okay. I keep my nine anyway. For the day, one of my homies run a squab, I'm still rolling with my phone job. Back in the day, I did my shit a dirt. Sometimes I got away clean, sometimes people got hurt. But if you know me, you know that I'm liable. So bust a cap, cause it's all about survival of the fittest. I'm a menace crook. I did so much dirt, I need to be in the Guinness book. From the shit I took from people, I'll reap for your sets and check. Back to the criminal set. I lead crew after crew, but they can't catch me yet. Cause I'm slick and slippery, they can't get with me. Cops ain't shit to me. I can't dig a pig, so I drop the dog. And sweat them like sweat hogs. They get mad and mad cause I'm the brother that's morning. America's most wanted. Hey yo, it was with the poster read. High priest is wanted dead. That's all it said. I put heads to bed and fled the scene with all the green hair shots and sirens. When I beat first, they yo ring. Now they my rings. So give it up, punk, that I just put another jack in progress. It's the American way. Cause I'm the G-A-N-G-S-T-A. Beat Dog, a motherfucking klepto. They tried to catch the early bird, but they slept. So who gets the worm? And if I'm caught in a trap, you know I'ma beat the rap with a payoff. Cops got a layoff. FBI on my dick, stay off. I'm not a rebel or a renegade on a quest. I'm a brother with an S on the chest. So get the crypt tonight, cause I'ma rip tonight. Cause I'm scaring you, I'm wanted by America. Word, but who the fuck is Herb? It's time to take a trip to the suburb. Let him see a brother invasion. Point blank, but I'm half Caucasian. Cocked the hammer, didn't crack a smile. Take me to your house, pal. Got to the house, my pockets got fat, see? Cracked the safe, got the money and the jewelry. 3 weeks later, I'm at the PAD. Had a little fly ass bitch with me. Sitting in the dig, yo, it couldn't be. Saw my face on TV, damn. I didn't know I lucked out, struck out. I gotta get the fuck out. Pack my bags and try to hit the dough when the old bitch down the street must have turned me in. Cause the feds was out there 10 feet. I got hassled and gaffled in the backseat. I think back when I was robbing my own kind, the police didn't pay it no mind. But when I started robbing the white folks, now I'm in the pen with a soap and a rope. I said it before and I still told it. Every motherfucker with a color's most wanted.
Speak to high priest, wanted for audio thievery. This guy does people's songs over, steals beats, he's always jacking. You better watch out for him. 2015, he's on the move.
Good evening, cyber world. Once again, we welcome you to another fact and fun-filled edition, of one of the realest, most authentic, most entertaining, just truest to rare form of hip-hop type of show. It's TDR Radio, which your host, 30-year underground hip-hop vet, Thief the High Priest. And that's me, and what's good? How you guys doing tonight, man? Happy Saturday, coming at you with a special Saturday edition of TDR Radio. And, of course, starting off at the top of the show, that would be the sound of yours truly doing a cover of America's Most Wanted from Ice Cube, O'Shea Jackson. What is with me tonight, man? by itself. I'm not used to doing shows on Saturday. Please excuse the flubs. Please excuse the flubs. Yes, sir. Coming from that classic album, I had to do a little remake, and I think it's doing fairly well on SoundCloud. It's got over 500 listens, so thanks for all the love. I'm about to crack 25,000 listens, as a matter of fact, on my Thief to High Priest page. Let's see. Let's do a little refresh. Did we hit it? 24,993. We'll get it, you know, by the end of the night. Seven people, please go to SoundCloud after the show and play a song. Thief to High Priest. Check it out. Check it out. Hey, joining us tonight will be Triple OG, West Coast Pioneer of Entertainment Security. Uncle Mel will be in the building. We're just waiting for him to give us a little call. And he's got a lot of things on his mind. I was talking to him recently about the NWA movie that just came out. Great movie. He's has a little, you know, he's got some issues. I don't know if you would call them issues, but he told me that the movie's about 35% truth, in his opinion. So we'll kick around some things when he calls in just a little bit, and we'll see what's up with his opinions and some other things. He was also very close to Eazy-E. I know his daughter went to school with Eazy-E, so should make for a pretty interesting show in just a little bit. In entertainment news tonight, this is pretty interesting. The DOC, a great rapper who did a lot of writing for NWA, supposedly Snoop Dogg and MC Breed, he was on a serious radio show yesterday, and apparently his voice has come back. Following the release of No One Can Do It Better in August of 1989, the former standout of the Fela Fresh crew was involved in a severe car accident in Los Angeles, California. The DOC's larynx was severely injured, all but ruining his commercial rap career. He came on the show and he did a little interview, and you can check this out at Ambrosia for Heads. 25 years after a presumed career-ending accident, the DOC's voice is returning. Has a bit of an audio snippet, and he's talking, and then at about, what is it, at 9 minutes and 30 seconds into it, he actually breaks out his old voice. But he only does it for a very brief amount of time, so I don't know if he's going to be able to really pull that off, so we'll see what's going on. Again, calling in tonight, we've got a very special guest. I believe he has joined us. Let's see what's going on tonight. Let's see who's on the line. Good evening, TDR Radio.
Yo, Uncle Mel here.
Yes, sir. Uncle Mel is in the building. Thank you for joining us, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, man, I got a little busy, man. I knew it was not, you know, the time thing, but I was working on another project trying to get this flyer together. But, yeah, I'm here.
I understand. Not a problem. We just, you know, kicked it off with a little music and a little entertainment news. I got to ask you, since I just came off the story, have you heard anything about the DOC's voice coming back?
They said it came back, man, but it couldn't be, I mean, 25 years, man. He's been talking, his vocal cords are shot, so I don't see how he could come back good enough for him to, you know, sound like the old DOC. I haven't heard it. I guess I'm going to call him tomorrow and see what's really going on.
Okay, that's great, man. You know, like I said, when I listened to this interview that he gave on Sirius Radio, and he just did it for a little bit, it doesn't sound like he's going to be able to, like, I don't know, in my opinion, I don't think he would be able to use it for, like, a full-length recording, but we'll see what's going on with that.
Did his voice kind of sound like this? Yeah, what's going on? DOC.
It did, and then he for very brief excerpts, like he went back to his normal voice, but it kind of sounded like he was struggling to retain that normal speaking voice. So
yeah. Well,
I guess
vocal cords are not back yet.
So yeah, pretty
man, before we get started, man, I want to thank my daughter Shannon. She called me and made me aware of the time. So I get on it, man, and get back to you. And then
that's good. It's all good, man. You know, I was just waiting for you. I wasn't worried about it. And if you were a little late, I was just going to go into another song, man. So It's all good. We got it covered. You know what I'm saying? It's internet radio, man. We make it. You know, I am the Uncle Mel. I am the make it happen captain.
All right, man. All right, dude. Just work with me, man. Just work with me. First of all, I want to do what the movie didn't do, okay?
Let's go.
I want to mention some people, man. I want to mention some people. The twins, Big Andre, Animal, Big Ron, KJ, and may you rest in peace, and Mustafa Khan. That was part of the security crew, man, and myself throughout all the years. And not one of us got a mention in the movie, which, you know, I kind of figured it was going to be that way anyway. But, hey, it's a movie. It's not a biopic like they are pushing it right now at the theaters. I don't know why that is. It's just a movie. And it's making money. It's making money. It went over $100 million a day, so.
That's a huge sum of money for, you know, it's only been out, you know, this is the second weekend at the box office. I guess last weekend, in the first weekend alone, it actually broke a record as the largest earning R-rated movie for an August release. So,
no, not the second weekend. That's what it was for 8 days.
Okay, plus for 8 days. Killing them, okay, man. That's killing them.
And it appears that everybody's trying to jump on the bandwagon. People from L.A., they know Mac Attack, Greg Mack. They're doing a biopic on him. They're saying that he was the one that was playing the rap, which he was, but they're trying to make it seem like he pushed N.W.A. out there, man, for the other labels to play. I mean, the other stations to play, and that's not the case. There's only one rap station in L.A., and that was KBAY. So we had nowhere else to go but there, because, I mean, you know, the R&B stations wasn't playing rap. So, I mean, you had that one station, and that's what it was.
Does Stevie Wonder still own a radio station in Los Angeles?
Yeah, KGLH.
That's what I thought it was. You know, because, you know, I'm sure I shared with you before, that's how I got my start into, you know, being a West Coast flavored artist and just, you know, a big fan of the music and the movement. Is I spent the summer of 1988 out there, and that's when Eazy-E was coming out, and they were playing that in heavy road. You know, that here between hearing Eazy-E and Rodney Owen Joe Cooley on the AMK day, and I kind of remember that KJLH was like almost like a rivaling station, and I don't know where they, I don't remember that they were playing rap back then.
Well, back then, K-Day was on AM. KGLH was on FM. K-Day didn't go on to FM until 93, I think. Then they flipped over to FM. But other than that, I mean, oh, man, you couldn't go on. You couldn't hear K-Day on the other side of Florence. You know, it was limited because they was AM, you know.
Right. I remember it sounding pretty damn good for AM, though, or maybe I was just excited, or maybe it was just the music, or because we used to roll around, man. We used to roll around in the ride, you know, Sunset Boulevard, listen to K-Day, man, and just like I said, some fantastic memories for me 27 years ago, and just that was when the California music scene was really, it was just starting to come to a pinnacle just really because of N.W.A. Ice-T was out at that time. You know,
right.
he had just released the Power album. And it was just a real, real buzzing time for the movement. And
ooh,
things were just really
coming. Then he released that Power album. Yeah, that Power album. Nobody ever forget that one, man. He had Darlene on the front cover. And, oh, my God. Yes, sir. Everybody was buying it just for the cover.
I still got, you know, I still, one of my most prized possessions is an autograph of 45. For those youngsters out there that know, 45 RPM, it's a little record autographed by Africa Islam and Ice-T, man. So,
definitely. Yeah, you had a single, one on one side, you had A side and you had a B side. That was it.
And that's even at that, even at that time, CDs were out, but the CD was in the long box. You remember the long box CD, Uncle Mel?
Long box CD, nah.
Yeah, it was. You know, the CD. You actually, it was like in a big oblong box, man. You had to purchase it in, like, you know, it was at the top of the case, and it came in a big long case, like it almost had a cover. It was like a, it came in like a wraparound cover, man. So, like I said, we're going.
Oh yeah, that was that back. Was yeah that was. Yeah.
That was the beginning.
Well, back
that was
the, you're
almost
on that
the beginning. Right, exactly. You know, that's what we're doing, you know. Juggle a few you know, juggle a few brain membranes and like I said, it's 27 years ago, so just gotta take it back, keep it true to the flavor of the actual episode here. Hey, so I did wanna ask you a couple of things. Obviously, you had done security for NWA, and that's how, you know, that was part of your affiliation with them. How did you get involved in doing security, and how did you get a chance to meet up with them and actually start working with them?
Well, I was a football coach at Morningside High School, and they called this company, Contemporary, called and asked for football players. They had a big event coming up. So before I sent my guys out there, I went to check it out myself. And at the time, man, they were only paying minimum wage. And you work 4 hours or whatever the length of the concert was. And so I went and worked it. And I said, man, it's pretty cool. Yeah, man, you get paid. You get a free concert. And you get to kick as much ass as you want to, and nobody's going to mess with you, you know, no police or nothing. So you had the popo on your side, you know. So
I thought
it was a good deal, and so I got involved in it. And I was working for two companies. I was working for Contemporary, which is the CSC people that you see at all the sporting games, football games, basketball games, running around in yellow jackets. Also, I was working for Staff Pro, same people, same jackets, but just different names at different stadiums. And but they wouldn't pay me my net worth, man. They had me working as supervisor. I had people under me, but they wouldn't pay me for that. So I came with the bright idea of starting my own company. So in the process, my oldest daughter, she was going to school with Easy. And, you know, my kids were telling me about this dude, Easy, and yada, yada. And I'm like, man, what was this Easy do? Well, he needs some security. I say, well, bring him over and talk to him and see what's happening. And that's how it happened.
That's again, obviously some pioneering, groundbreaking affiliations that you had at that time. You know, meaning how old was Easy at this time?
I don't know, man. That was in 86. So I don't know how old he was. I have no idea. But let me tell you this. There was another, Violet Brown. Okay, they had Warehouse Records. She was top dog, and she was buying all the black music. And she was the one who was buying this rap. But, see, there was a problem. She had all these stores all the way from San Francisco down to San Diego, all the way over into Arizona, and I think she has some stores down in New Mexico. But we used to do in stores where you bring the artists in, and they would be playing their music. You could purchase their music. They'll sit there and sign the cassette or sign the CD or sign the album, right? But when it came to rap, nobody wanted to touch them. So I met Violet through another friend, and Violet said, hey, you got a security company? I said, I sure do. And she goes, look, if I wanted Eazy-E at one of my stores, how would you handle it? And I broke it down to her, how many people I'd have, where I would place them, blah, 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 blah. And she said, well, what do you have a fear about going into certain areas? I said, no, I go all over L.A. I go all over it because I didn't go by what these other security companies did, man. I hire people from the neighborhood that I'm going to. If I'm in a red neighborhood, well, you better believe I got some Bloods working for me. If I'm in a Crip, I got some Crips working for me. So wherever you saw the black and gold, it was all good. I mean, you know, we didn't get no hassles from nobody. Nobody sweated the people. Because it was, man, I go to the neighborhood and give guys jobs, man, you know what I'm saying? And I paid them good, too. I mean, the minimum wage, I think, was something like $7.50. And I was paying like $10 and $12 an hour. You know, it wasn't my goal to make a whole lot of money, just enough money to pay my bills. So, I mean, that's how, you know, and then as time went on, I had to tell Easy, look, man, I can't make money because I got a family. I can't make money while you guys in the studio. If you're on the road, I can make, but in the studio, I'm not making no money, man. So I told him I'm going to have to step and go out with some of these other groups. Because a lot of the other groups, man, they, you know, their managers and road managers will call me, hey, man, you're busy and you come on the trip. Like, well, you know, right now with NWA. So that's how that came about, man. I started going out with other groups. Easy was down with it. And Easy was cool, man. Because Easy gave me a little front money for my company. And nobody knew that. Everybody was always asking me, where did you get the front money? You know, I didn't get the front money from nowhere. I just started on my own. But Easy, man, Easy was like, instead of an employer, Easy was more like a son to me, you know. And the way he went out, man, it really hurt me. It hurt me bad. It hurt me so bad, man, I couldn't even go to the funeral. That's how bad it hurt me. It really did. And because 2 weeks prior to him going to the hospital, I was talking to Eric. You know, I was at the radio station. He had his own show. 92.3, I believe. No. It was one radio station. Okay, it was FM station. I think it was 92.3. At any rate, we were talking and he was saying, man, we're going to have to get together because I think we're going to go back on the road. Because he had been talking to Dre, and he's saying, you know, Dre is going to talk to Cube, and we might get this thing back together, man. I'm like, all right, cool, you know, just let me know what you want to do. So we're supposed to meet the next 2 weeks. Well, I go back up there, man. The twins say, well, hey, old man, Eric's in the hospital, which wasn't a big thing because he had problems before, you know, so nobody really thought nothing of it. But then when they said he had HIV, I'm like, then it went from HIV to full-blown AIDS, man, within 2 weeks. And I'm like, hey, man, that's some bullshit. You know, so that's the way it went, man.
Just the, in your very own words, the way it, you know, it just escalated so quickly in a matter of weeks, and then he parted, you know, just has a lot of, it's left a lot of people scratching heads across the world of, you know, how this could have happened to him. And, you know, obviously, just even that part of the movie where when he passed at the end during the part of that movie, just very saddening, you know, just very, even just for a movie, obviously, again, it was just, sounds like it was more of a dramatization than a biopic, but just that part was just seemed like a very touching situation. And for you being so close to him, and, you know, I always hear stories that, you know, he was supposedly a drug dealer, gangster, and part of the world's most dangerous group and made this kind of music. But I heard at the, you know, I just hear at the core that he was actually just a very nice guy and just was really kind to people. And it sounds like that is definitely the truth, hearing these things that you're telling us tonight.
Listen, man, it wasn't a group you had to worry about. It was us, the security teams, what you had to worry about. You listen to what I'm saying? It wasn't,
right.
I mean, and all them cats, man, were cool. They were like, was nobody, a street person but Eric. But, I mean, we took care of them, man. I mean, we didn't let nobody hurt them. And most of all, we didn't let them hurt themselves. You know, trying to be tough, Tony, and then, you know, somebody cold cocking or something. You know, that was all part of his job.
Well, at the very least, you know, obviously he's left behind one hell of a legacy. He will forever be remembered as a musical entrepreneur, and You know, honestly, like I even listen to some of his sons. Like one of my favorites is I guess I think it's his third son, Baby Eazy-E. I think his name is Eazy-E the third. He calls himself E3. Right. Like, he's got some great music, and he sounds a lot like his dad. I've heard some stuff that he did with OG Cocaine, and you know, he hasn't been as successful with his career as his father was, but, you know, it's just good that the legacy is continuing even through his sons, and they're making some good music, and they're keeping the memory of their father alive, and I think that's important just as far as him being forever remembered in the music industry and for the talent and his signature voice, which, again, E3 really just sounds a lot like his dad.
Yeah, he does, man. And I want to say one more thing. There were two more groups, man, on Rufus. One was HWA, Hoes with Attitude, and the other was J.J. Fad. Now, J.J. Fad broke out, man, with that supersonic. Dude, couldn't nobody touch that. Nobody. You know, but, once again, they wasn't mentioned in the movie either. I don't know, man. Now everybody, like I said, everybody now wants to come out with a book. You know what I'm saying? Greg Mack from K-Day. He's not a book. He's coming out with a movie. Then, from what I understand, there's a movie coming out supposedly about how Snoop and Tupac, how they came to their glory. You know, everybody's riding off of this NWA movie, man.
That was a quick attachment, you know. Within less than 2 weeks, everyone is kind of trying to piggyback off of the success of this. So,
well, if the money's out there, man, get it. I'm not mad at nobody. Somebody asked me a question. What would I do if I caught somebody selling a bootleg? You know what I told them? Nothing. Part of the game now, man. That's part of the game. It's not like it was back in the day when we had cassettes and all that. When we had the VHSs and all that. No, this is what it is, man. The digital world, man, and if it's out there, it's out there. Because I'm going to tell you, it was out there, man. It was on, like, three different sites a week after the movie was out. You just had to go out there and find the site.
You know, that's, man, with the internet being as prevalent as it is, it is dominating. There are no rules. It's with the internet being out there and just everything being available so readily and so quickly, and really even, you know, you can find sometimes, you know, I mean, I saw it online the day after it came out. Like, it wasn't at the absolute greatest quality, but it was watchable. There weren't any heads popping up, so it is what it is. You know, again, it wasn't even a matter of me spending the money. I'm just a guy that doesn't like to go out to the movie theater, so, you know, I'm an introvert, so it was perfect for me. So at least I got a chance to check it out, and, you know, it's almost amazing how quickly these half-hour shows go. So we're kind of winding things down here. As always, I appreciate you coming back on the show.
Before you go, let me say this right quick. Dre ain't hit nobody, and Dre didn't get up and shit his face. Boom, end of story.
I just, you know, I guess that's a lot of people. That's what they say. The problem with this movie was, you know, it's. When you have Dre and Ice Cube as, you know, executive producers or major, you know, figures behind the story element, you know, they're going to kind of sway things their way. And, you know, there's some people say, well, you know, the movie would have been over 3 hours if they would have included everything. But obviously they left out some very pivotal points and some very key figures. And that's why, you know, I'm glad to have a person like you that I can have on the show and that we can talk about these things. So, again, wish you all the best of success for the rest of 2015. Hope things continue to go well with you. Congratulations on the weight loss.
2016 is the book, baby. 2016 is the book.
It's beautiful. We're going to have you back, man. We'll have you back in a few months.
Right.
You know, we'll do it once again. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been tuned into TDR Radio with Thief the High Priest and my special guest, OG Uncle Mel. Make sure to check out
CPT for life, baby.
Yes.
CPT
yes,
for
sir.
Life.
Yes, sir. You know how us OGs do it. Out of here tonight, it's one more track by yours truly. West Coast Flavor, baby. West Coast Official. That's how we roll. And as always, we wish you good night, God bless, and whatever you do, don't stop the music.
Yes, sir.
resume, cause it's jumping off in a real way in the present day. I ain't a gangster, but I'm a G, keep it P.I. More to the Midwest than Nelly saying E.I. Palm trees in the breeze when you hear me rhyme. They think I'm from the Bay, I represent L.A. I represent real hip-hop, simple and plain. From the days of Insane in the Membrane, Cypress, 783, N.W.A. and Eazy-E. Don't forget the homie Mike T, co-signed by legends in the industry. West Coast official, I was there making history. West Coast official on mine, it's the dopest OG rapper on mine. TDHP with that hypnotic pimpin', call me King Thief, cause you know I'm just dippin', y'all trippin'. West Coast official on mine, it's the dopest OG rapper on mine. TDHP and I'm in my own league, original member of the group that's called Dying Breed. DB Architect, original producer, I was doing this while you were seated in a booster, playing with your Happy Meal cheeseburger prize. In the mid-90s, kid, I was on the rise. You would be surprised, though I ain't made a grip of loop. I made noise and I never been destitute. I got caked up from phone gaffling. If you heard the way I put it down, you'd be laughing. All the way to the bank, yeah, I've been chuckling. Artists been ripped off and they've been suffering. Watching a chain contract, no, I'm good on that. And on the final way, I got the final say. Until the final day, I-N-D-I-E, with the sound from the W.C. Don't forget I'm co-signed by legends in the industry. West Coast official, I was there making history. West Coast official on mine, it's the dopest OG rapper on mine. TDHB with that hypnotic pimpin', call me King Thief, cause you know I'm just tippin', y'all trippin'. West Coast official on mine, it's the dopest OG rapper on mine. TDHP and I'm in my own league, original member of the group that's called Dying Breed.
You have a very distinctive voice.
Yes.
People can know it's you without even seeing you.
Yes.
You've been making records for the West Coast and for the world for years.
Yes.
You have a catalog.
Yes.
Making records for the West Coast and for the world for years. TDHP, that OG from 83.